So it's you stirring the coffee instead of Sue that interrupts the world? Luke 3.
Here she comes.
Luke 3, verse 17. Who's, this is talking, John the Baptist is telling about Christ, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. He will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. We're still at this word gather, synago, or where you get the word synagogue. Remember, it means to bring together anything, fish, people, grain, which were once separated to make them one. And with regard to people, when that synago is used to gather, it means that there is also hospitality as a part of it. So that you treat guests as if they were, you've known me your whole life kind of thing. But anyway.
Is that the word for synagogue?
Synagogue, yeah. Let's go to Luke. We looked at a couple. Let's go to Luke 13. We're studying gather, or synagogue, and seeing how it's used elsewhere. This is the whole section about taking no thought for anything. In verse 30 it says, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins..." I'm in the wrong place.
I'm trying to figure out where you are. I'm
in Luke 12. No wonder it didn't make any sense. Ignore all that.
All right. Now we're going to try Luke 13.
Luke 13, verse 31. I'm not well. I haven't been well. I mean, mentally, I'm not well. "The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell the fox..." We studied that one. Anyway, verse 34 is the one. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not." Gather is a synagogue. Luke 15. Verse 11. "And a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them unto his living. And he divided them unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance. Again, he gathered all the possessions that he had and all the inheritance." And the word gather is what we're looking at. One more, Acts 11. This is just one verse, and it's they're at Antioch. Verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled or gathered themselves with the church and taught much people, and disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So again, assembled, gather, all is synago. They were first called Christians at Antioch. They were called Christians at Antioch because that became a term of law against them. They never called themselves Christians. Amen? Okay, back to Luke. Verse 17, and we're still in 17. But will gather the wheat into his garner. Remember, we've talked about this many times, but whenever wheat, talking about the gathering of the wheat or the harvesting of the wheat, it refers always to Pentecost. Whenever it talks about the barley, it always refers to Passover. And so here, there's something mysterious from God's perspective that took place on Pentecost. Well, we've talked about it many times, but he's purging his floor and gathering the wheat into his garner. Sometimes the wheat is the word sitos, and it's sometimes translated as corn or grain, but sitos means specifically wheat. And it's gathered into, or garnered, wait a minute. And will gather the wheat into his garner. Garner is apotheca. It's a place where anything is stored, where we get the word apothecary. Sometimes it's translated as barn. But the chaff will he burn with unquenchable fire. Chaff isn't just the outer covering of the grain. Chaff refers to any waste materials other than sometimes the stalk, sometimes the various leaves. It's the only thing that has value from God's perspective, or from a bread maker's perspective, is the kernel of wheat. And so everything else that's affiliated with that has to go. Remember, the word fan is that word for shovel where they throw it up and so that everything blows away except the wheat. Now, what does that mean to us? The only thing in the metaphor, the only wheat about you is the seed of Christ or the sperma of God within you. And so on the threshing floor, everything other than that mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, is dispersed into the winds, and what's left is burned. Everybody understand that?
What that says to me is there's a requirement, you might say, that you be tossed into the wind, that you can't just lay on the floor and everything be okay and you hunker down.
Well, if you lay on the floor, you get crushed first.
Yeah. Jesus is the one who's tossing us into the wind.
Huh?
Yeah. Jesus is the one who's tossing us into the wind because he's the one with the fan.
Amen.
Yeah. Doing the thing. That's the only way that chaff gets blown away.
And that act, all those acts of the threshing floor, there's not any act of the threshing floor that the flesh likes. All the act on the threshing floor is called, in our perception, suffering or tribulation. But it is if you don't suffer with, you won't reign with. That's the whole mystery. Amen? Okay, the chaff will burn. It's katakio. It means to burn completely. It's chaff here. Let's look at Matthew 13, because it's also tares, but Matthew 13, verse, I don't know yet. Oh, let's start in 24. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, dost not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then cometh, whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Now, so what are the tares metaphorically?
Anything that's not the seed.
No, but it's a separate plant.
Yes.
And that separate plant is something. And that metaphor in other places, it's those that are masquerading as angels of light. The masquerade, the hypocrisy. So that there's something totally different going on inside them. So we have two different things. We have the chaff, which is, in the metaphor, it's all of us that isn't the mystery of Christ in us. And the tares are those that it's just everything else in terms.
The tares can fool the wheat, but it can't fool the reap, the harvest.
Right. They know the book. Okay, let's look at another one. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. So we have chaff and tares, and let's see what else we have. Verse 10, just one verse. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So the earth and all the works that are therein are worthless to God. And when you see these parables and these metaphors over and over and over in the scriptures, can you see where there's nothing in time and space that has any value except as an antagonist? And it's repeated throughout the scriptures. It's over and over and over. In the Old Testament, remember, everything was done. Whole tribes, men, women, and children were wiped out to protect the seed. I mean, we've got to see everything from his point of view, not from ours. Because if we see from our point of view, it's a guarantee you'll be deceived. And it sounds, you must look from the top down. You must look from the mercy seat to make any sense out of life. Otherwise, you're going to get seduced into all these other things that'll pull you off the mercy seat. You'll fall from the strong city. What? You're doing it.
Well, it's like that parable, whatever it is, looking through the hole of a fence at an elephant. You know, you look at what you see and you say, oh, that's it. That little bit is the kingdom. And you just are delighted in your deception.
Remember that to confess the Lord Jesus doesn't mean that you say he exists. To confess the Lord Jesus is homologio, and it means to speak the same thing. In order to speak the same thing, you've had to hear the same thing. If you hear the same thing, you will see the same thing. That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God, because it totally dissolves everything else. Fire is, well, let's look at Babylon. Let's look at Babylon getting burned up. Let's see it prophesied in Revelation 17.
There's a lot of burning up scriptures.
Well, let's just look at 18. Watch it get burned up. It prophesies it in 17, but that just repeats it. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk, and the word there, nations, is it just means people. All people have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now, do you understand? There could be no commerce without cause and effect. Everything about what we do on a daily basis is worshiping Babylon. It's huge. It can't get any bigger. What?
Babylon's not going to change. Babylon's Babylon. It's what it is.
But he called his people to come out of her. Come out of her, my people. Come out. Touch not the unclean thing. All right. And I heard another voice from heaven in verse 4 saying, come out of her. Well, that's what I forgot that it said it right there. I didn't have to just say that. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. The first word I heard was myself speaking it. Now I'm hearing another voice. That's bad. Forgive me. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. And the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously or delicately. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore her plagues shall come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. We've talked about this so many times, but it's. And my prayer is that you see it and live it. But do you see how cause and effect is the greatest enemy of mercy and faith and grace? Because if you know how to do something, there's no faith. You don't need mercy. You don't need grace. Now, for me, cause and effect has failed in every dimension. But are any of you still thinking that you must live by cause and effect?
I'll sing this thing here about the she shall see no sorrow, you know.
Yeah.
That's the
prosperity gospel.
Part of us that doesn't want to believe that suffering, you know, has meaning.
You know, it takes something to say, I'm not going to be a partaker of that any longer. I'd rather die than be a partaker of cause and effect. And that's rare, unfortunately. Because we're swimming in it. But there has to be the repentance, and your revenging of that disobedience has to begin in you. When you see it. With fire unquenchable. Unquenchable is an interesting word. It's asbestos.
Really? It says what?
Asbestos.
Asbestos.
Is the Greek word for unquenchable. All right. I don't feel like talking anymore. I just want to leave you with the incredible importance of coming out of Babylon, coming out of cause and effect, of not even being tempted to put on the Babylonian garment. Remember, that's why the first temptation after the Jericho was destroyed. Remember that? Now let's look at it. I knew I wasn't going to be able to quit.
Where are we going?
Joshua somewhere. The Sin of Achan at chapter 7. We're not going to read the whole thing, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men to go fight, and they were defeated. Remember? And so we go down to blah, 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 blah. Verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, pray, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed I have sinned, because the Lord God of Israel sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and to all the children of Israel, laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garments, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from his fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. That just doesn't make any sense to anybody's mind. They took all of his family and his kids and stoned them. But can you see why? God deals with us as one, not as a bunch of individuals. This is what's so evil about this. Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? This is the source of humongous heresies. It's our Father, not my Father.
This struck me that when it said the Lord God of Israel, you can say the Lord God of a lot of different things, but the God of the body of
Christ. The body of Christ.
And so the sin was against the body. And that's how you take care of the problem surgically.
Well, and again, it's not up to us to go ahead and go out and do all this kind of stuff and kill people and stone them. But it's up to us to see and fear before the Lord. So you don't just... I mean, you're not even tempted to put on the... Do you understand what it means to put on the Babylonian garment? Huh?
Cess.
Do you understand what it means to put on the Babylonian garment?
He's trying to answer that.
Oh.
Yeah. You're looking for success in this world. You're looking for redemption in this world and glory in this world. And those are your... What you cover.
And your vehicle, means by which to do it, is cause and effect. I'm sorry, I thought you said, huh? She did.
It's like you don't even want the goat that used to belong to Achan. It's like, so nobody could say, you know, that used to be Achan's goat. Achan is gone. It's like there's no even reference point to Achan. Right, that's right. What the weird thing is. It's like that's why everything that he touched or had relationships with or anything was eradicated. And that's a picture, you know.
And if that doesn't put the fear of God in you, I don't know what will. And it's not a fear like, oh my God, I'm afraid he's going to punish me. It's a fear that's based on love, that I will do nothing to displease him. I will do nothing. I'll certainly do with everything in me. I'll do nothing to... I'm sorry, I got to tell a little story. Last night was really, really bad. I didn't even realize I was screaming, but Pete came in and asked me if I wanted to go to the emergency room. And, man, it was so tempting to do anything, You know, because I knew if I went to the emergency room, they'd give me a shot of morphine or something. And I'm not saying I'm not going to do it sometime, but I couldn't do it. Not because I didn't want to, but because of the fear of the Lord. And I don't know how to explain that to anybody. It doesn't make any sense. But it's real, and that kind of, it's got to be real in you. Like keeping your word. If you know, it's if you've been stupid enough to give an oath, then you better, or a promise, you better crawl across glass to meet it. You have to have some integrity here. You have to be just one thing. You can't be all these different things inside you. Anyway, sorry for the rant. Anybody have any response to any of that? What?
I just feel it. I know. I can feel where you're coming from on that. It's like the pain is more than you can bear, and yet the impulse, the heavenly impulse, is greater than the pain.
Yeah, and it's not. It has no merit to me. I mean,
no, but if you see, when you see, you're empowered to say no, or whatever you say. But that's a dramatic.
Anyhow, if you're going to muse on the fear of God. Take a big breath.
That's a good bumper sticker.
I got to get well so I can get a haircut.
Yeah, that's job number one.
Thank you.